Welcome back, students. Welcome to yet another chapter on strategic management. Today we're going to talk about functional unit level strategy. This is chapter 7 in the strategic management book written by me. We have seen corporate level strategy and business unit level strategy in the last two chapters. Now the logical extension of that is the functional unit level strategy. All three put together will form the overall strategy for an organization, and all the three are interlinked. So let's see before we get into the details of functional unit level strategy. What is a functional unit? Each organization or a business unit is divided into different functions in terms of its overall value chain. The different functions could represent different areas of expertise within the organization, capabilities, competencies, and skills. The functions could be as ranging from marketing to sales department to production department, research and development, HR department, or finance department, supply chain department, information technology department. There are human resources department. These are different different functions within the organization. You need these different functions to optimally ensure that the strategies are implemented by their teams with regard to whatever is the corporate strategy, whatever is the business unit level strategy, and whatever is the functional unit level strategy. So this is in nutshell the introduction about functional unit level strategy. Let's see what is our learning objective out of this chapter. To understand the importance of functional strategy, how it impacts the overall strategy, assess the need for a cross-functional collaboration, because it is not a silo, it is not an island, each of the functions, they are completely interlinked with each other, and there is cross-functional teams which will work together to ensure the strategies are implemented as per the business unit level and as per the corporate level strategy. To understand the different functions and responsibilities, how each functions operate, what are their KRAs, what are the key responsibilities, what kind of expertise they bring to the table, to the organization. To evaluate the strategic management process, to understand the role of stakeholders formulating the functional level strategy. Who are the people who are involved in formulating the strategic, functional level strategy? So we have seen a brief introduction about functional level strategy at the beginning. It's a formulation of corporate and, after the formulation of corporate and business unit strategies, strategic managers need to formulate functional level strategies, functional unit level strategies. It's very important. Functions are going to support the business unit level strategy. Having said that, functional strategies work in areas like different functions that I've spoken just now, marketing, sales, supply chain, HR, finance, production, customer service, etc. Organizations have a central team called cross-functional team, represented by the key members of different functional units and departments. So they come together to ensure that the conflicts are addressed, the overlaps are addressed. There are areas where they leverage the expertise from each different function in the overall delivery of the objective. So these are the different functions, and cross-functional teams can be created out of one or two members from senior leadership members from each of these functional units. So this I don't have to repeat. It is basically, we are saying all these functions have to work together, collaborate with each other, reduce the conflicts, have discussions on a daily basis or a weekly basis and monthly basis to make progressive things in the organization to achieve the strategy, to achieve the objectives and goals, thereby achieving the vision. So these are the departments, or some organizations, they call it as departments, but in today's world, it is called functions. Because you're bringing in functional subject matter expertise into the organization, whether it is an industry experience or a technology experience or market experience or finance experience or human resource experience or production experience, or be it supply chain or information technology or customer service experience. All these people serve different stakeholders within the organization. It could be customers, employees, stakeholders, shareholders, partners, and society at the end of the day. So let's get into the first function, which is marketing's function. process that allows an organization is a process. Marketing strategy is a process. Everything is a process in strategy. You know, it follows. It allows an organization to concentrate its resources on the optimal opportunities with the objective of increasing the sales for the organization. Right? How do you create leads? How do you create campaigns? How do you create excite the market with your products and services? What kind of marketing campaigns you can run? How do you get the attention of your customers through social media, you know, marketing? So the objective is to increase the sales. Your sales is say $100. So how do you move it from $100 to $120 per customer, average revenue per customer? Needs to take a long-term view always. Your strategy is a long-term view, helping to stimulate effects of strategy on customer acquisition, revenue per customer, average revenue per customer, churn rate, how many customers you are able to churn in and avoid churn out from your customer base. Churn in is how many customers you bring in from the competition. Churn out is how many customers move from your organization to another competition organization. So customer acquisition is a very important metric in the overall marketing process. Marketing dominance strategy. There are four, like we have seen in Snow and Miles strategy in the business unit level strategy, there are four types of strategies that you can adopt. The first one is leader. The second one is challenger. The third one is follower. And the fourth one is niche. A leader is a leader. He always stays ahead of curve. He has the ability to execute, have a vision, execute, and be innovative. So these are the characteristics of a leader, leading with vision, ability to execute the vision, characterized by high innovation. The challenger, he gives a close fight to the leader. You know, he has the ability to challenge the leader, has the potential to become a leader through introduction of new products and services. He always comes with new products, though with a little bit lag time, but he'll take on the leader head on. In terms of innovation, in terms of market leadership, but has a potential to become a leader sooner or later. A follower is a company that replicates the products, from these two categories. They just replicate. They still have market share. They're happy with it. They're a follower, right? They don't invest heavily on processes, people, and systems. But there's a saying, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. So they don't have to reinvent the wheel, they just do a replication process. Niche player focuses on unique concept, you know, basically addressing very specific segments of the market, concentrate their efforts on specialized products and services. So these are the four different strategies you can have, marketing strategies. Marketing strategist has two principal strategies to choose from. You can, depending on where your organization is. If your organization is in a niche place, a niche marketplace, then you will look for niche customer acquisition. Niche means very specialized service, very specialized product, very narrow focused market segment. A penetration means you've already got very strong market and you want to penetrate further into the market and you want to acquire more customers, reduce churn, and then increase the average revenue per customer. So these three principles, three guidelines apply to any of a marketing strategy. Growth. Marketing manager may choose from two additional alternatives: segment expansion and brand creation. Brand expansion. You know, the whole idea is to create visibility. Whole idea is to sell more, to create more opportunities for the organization. You know, business unit. Opportunity for business unit. So in that process, you will try to expand your brand name by creating ads and advertisements and visibility for your organization through conducting roadshows and seminars and things like that, customer interactions, segment expansion by identifying the right segments and expanding into new segments and diversifying into new segments and expanding the existing segments. Segments means customer segment, right? For example, India has got a huge demographic advantage. So you will start creating products for each of the segments or each of the verticals, each of the horizontals. So those are segment expansions. Maturity. Sales growth slows, stabilizes, starts to decline. You know, firm maintains a hold and a stable marketing mix. I think we have seen this in the overall fundamentals of strategic management, where there are four stages of life cycle of a product, which is basically introduction stage, where the product gets introduced, growth stage, where you penetrate and you expand into your marketplace, maturity means your product gets into a plateau stage where sales start declining, and a stable with a stable marketing mix. What is the marketing mix? We'll talk about it in a couple of slides. So first let us talk about marketing strategies according to Shorick. Decline in marketing strategy, basically it's attributed to decline in sales, because the sales approaches, the costs of sales exceed the cost of acquisition. So obviously you'll not be able to replicate it further. You want to cut down the losses, and because you begin to exceed costs. Harvesting strategy becomes unprofitable, because farming and harvesting is very important strategy. Most of the penetration strategy comes from that strategy. So it becomes divesting. You sometimes feel harvesting strategy becomes unprofitable. Divesting strategy becomes necessary, because some businesses you want to sell it off in the process. Often used to help. What is a marketing mix modeling? Let's talk about this for a while. Often used to help determine the optimal marketing budget. So you need to have a marketing budget, and you want to see the action and you want to see the results. You're selling $100 marketing budget. How much times you should get the sales? Suppose your sales is $1 million, and you're selling $100 marketing budget. How much is $1 million to become? The $1 million to become a $2 million? So that marketing budget and the metrics should be clearly defined. It helps marketing function to allocate resources to achieve strategic goals. So this $100 is being allocated on various activities: lead generation, campaigns, advertisement, social media campaigning, marketing. It could be anything, or new product innovation, bring about new product changes. So that budget has to be allocated to different resources within the marketing function. This model, marketing mix model, helps allocate spend across a portfolio of brands and manage brands to create value. So you've got multiple brands, Hindustan Unilever. There are different brands of consumer products there. So marketing budgets are allocated for each product there: home care product, personal care product, so on and so forth. So within that, there are brands. Each brand gets some allocation of resources, for creating value. So this is what it is. We talked about marketing mix. I think I've done a chapter on services marketing, where very clearly we talked about the seven variables of marketing mix, the 7P formula. What are the 7P? The product, price, promotion, place, people, process, and physical evidence. So you need to deliver on this promise to a customer. If you want to really delight the customer and create a customer experience and a positive moment of truth, I think what is more critical is you need to look at all the 7 P's and ensure that you have a strategy around each of these. The marketing strategy should very comprehensively devise a holistic strategy around the 7 P's: product, price, promotion, place, people, process, and physical evidence. So I'm not going to go deep into that. This is a basic foundation of any marketing strategy. So I'm sure you've gone through this this particular subject earlier. Now let's go to get focus on functional. Let's shift our focus on functional, which is finance strategy. Finance strategy of a business. Finance is a very, very important asset for an organization. There are two key assets, two important cornerstones, or an asset, assets I would call, in any business. One is the finance department. The other one is the HR department. These are like two eyes for a human being. So you are able to see the whole world with those eyes, two eyes. So basically, these are very, very valuable resources within the organization. So what do we do? How do we create a financial strategy? That business needs to address factors such as: how do you manage the cash flow? Cash flow is very important. You have to pay salary, you have to pay your vendors, you have to pay your input costs, you have to pay for the capital expenditure, you have to pay for the overhead expenses. So there are a whole lot of expenses there. So if you're setting up a business, you know, if you're running a P&L, then you will know what I mean. You know, you need cash flow. Cash flow is very important. You know, there is a saying, basically, order, customer order is just a sanity, you know, vanity. You know, revenue is a sanity, cash flow is the reality. So you need to look at reality as the key factor, where cash flow becomes very important for sustenance of any organization. Managing cash flow, raising capital, because you want to expand and diversify business, you need to have more cash, you need to raise capital. Making right investments, you have to make right investments if you are surplus cash. You need a finance department to do all that. Businesses that pursue low-cost strategy pursue financial strategies that are intended to minimize their costs. There are businesses, you know, low-cost, you can have a low-cost strategy and financial strategies that are intended to minimize their costs, which is fine. Characterize, so finance department becomes an integral role in the cost management, you know, low-cost management. It is characterized by clearly measurable metrics and financial ratios like revenue per customer, profitability, gross margin, net margin, EBITDA, operating expenses, employee costs, you know, PBT, net profit. So there are many metrics, measurable metrics within the finance strategy. Human resource strategy. Underlying strategies develop its human resource. Human resource is the second most important thing, important asset in an organization. So how do you unlock the human resources, wisdom and compassion? Because that's how the organization is going to create a long-term culture. A culture that will fuel their, translate their vision into execution and its reality. Ensures employees are empowered to serve their customers as various sub-functions to engage. The different engagement processes. It could be onboarding process or employee engagement process or performance evaluation process. Or it is talent management process, or it could be exit process, it could be learning and development process. So there are multiple sub functions within the HR function. Strategic HR function seeks to build an employee workforce that enables the organization to achieve its goals. So you're well aligned to the business unit strategy. You are enabling the workforce, the employees, to achieve the organization goals. So it's very important. So HR becomes a very empowering organization for overall employees. And, you know, strategic needs may include learning and development, performance management, and other functions which I just mentioned now. Production, if you are a product company, production becomes a very important aspect. The manufacturing process becomes a very important process. They determine what kind of capital expenditure would be required, whether new machines are required, you know, whether to work overtime or in shifts, whether the sequence and scheduling of production will be, what would be the schedules of delivery, ensuring that the production run is monitored to be on proper time. You know, you have timelines to meet and you have to, you know, you've got market demand and then you have to keep producing the goods, products. Organization gains economies of scale and looks for capital labor substitution, explores business process re-engineering. It's a quality business process re-engineering is a continuous process within the production department. So they are, you know, they have to get ISO certifications, they have to get quality certifications, they have to get business process re-engineering done to constantly improve and innovate within the, you know, production process system. Quality management. Every organization has quality departments because they believe that if they're producing products or service, you need to ensure that, you know, there are efforts to install, you know, and create a permanent climate in which organization continuously improves its quality of service delivery or quality of product delivery, you know. Organization positions quality as a marketing strategy, as a differentiator, because products command premium price. And services also command premium price because you come with a little premium in your quality of service delivery. Organizations adopt quality management for operations excellence, aims at improving quality and performance and efficiency. It's very important. So quality directly relates to performance improvement and efficiency improvement. And the chances of rejection, the probability of rejection of your product and service in the field, in the market, gets drastically reduced. You know, it is finally resulting in operational excellence for the production department. Six Sigma. Six Sigma is a standard which by which organizations benchmark their services, quality services. Key roles played in the organization for successful implementation. They are basically starting from executive leadership, top management responsible for setting up a vision for Six Sigma. And Six Sigma is actually driven as a separate function or a department within an organization. Champions take responsibility for Six Sigma implementation across the organization. Black belts, you know, master black belts acts as an in-house coach on Six Sigma and implementation across the organization. You would have seen it in your own companies. And this is a common thing which we are seeing today, and it is a very necessary thing and you know mandate for top management to implement Six Sigma quality. Key roles played in the organization for successful implementation. Black belts is another master black belt and green belt. These are three levels of you know certifications people go through, and their responsibility is the project execution and special leadership take up implementation along with their job responsibilities, you know. These are dedicated people. Research and development, a continuous innovation and new idea generation is important for sustaining your business. The investment strategy in R&D is to foster innovation and leadership in products and services. And the organization is planning to provide in the marketplace in the present and the future. So you have to constantly keep ahead of the value curve. You have to constantly introduce new products, new services, new features. So obviously organizations might face risk in the process in their product and services innovation as new products or services that Salesforce automation, marketing, you know, for the marketing automation, these systems support the automation and function of that particular department. While the company as an asset, as an IT strategy invests heavily into hardware and software systems, the objective is to enable the organization's ability to improve the market presence. Because you are able to continuously, Salesforce carries a Salesforce tool, they are able to reach the customer and understand the requirement and create a, you know, quotation, proposal, and then close the deal. So that comes in this, you know, production is able to see the, through the ERP system, they are able to process their requirements fast, whether it is a sales request, purchase request, or logistics request, or inventory request, or even capital expenditure request. So finally, customer experience and profitability and operational excellence depends on how well your organization has been IT enabled and how your organization has been automated with respect to the different functions. So that much, you know, efficient your organization will be, and it is going to be really, you know, a differentiating factor for your organization. Walmart is an example. Let me give an example of Walmart. Walmart is an organization, their innovation is powered by IT enablement. So they are able to keep lowest inventory, they are able to cut costs in their procurement, they are able to manage materials properly, they are able to manage their customers very well, they know which product is moving fast, they know which product is moving less, and how the shelves are getting exhausted, they go refill it. You know, it's all happening a well-oiled engine, it's all happening like a well-oiled engine, well automated, and they got, you know, surveillance, they got actionable intelligence, they got quality systems, they got automation systems with regard to billing. So the average time you spend on a counter is far less than your competitor companies. So a lot of value proposition. These value proposition have been achieved only because IT systems and processes. So information technology strategy adoption is very, very rewarding for an organization to create a differentiation and stay ahead in their marketplace. With that, you know, I'm coming to the close of the functional strategy. Functional strategies, you know, it's all about creating strategy across the functions and create a cross-functional collaboration to ensure that all the engines or functions are working smoothly, seamlessly, in order to achieve the overall organization business strategy. Strategic managers must align their activities in the functional areas to ensure that various departments are well conditioned, well coordinated, well engine, well you know seamlessly you know, moving in one direction. Ensure that departments collaborate with each other for success. So cross-functional collaboration we talked about. We called it as CFT, cross-functional teams across the different functions. functions in an organization increasingly looking in an integrated strategy to exploit the advent of new technologies. It's very important. So new technologies have to be implemented to really leverage the benefits of your investments. So across the functions, whether it is marketing, sales and marketing function, you need to have a Salesforce automation. If it is the HR function, you need to have an HR management function automation. If it is the finance function, you need to have a finance module. If it is a production department, you need an ERP. If it is a customer care department, you need to have a CRM. So your whole organization works on complete automation. So it is not people dependent. Of course, people will be there. People, process, and tools. These three things make together, all the functions work seamlessly, all the functions collaborate with each other. The cross-functional teams are working to remove conflicts and work towards a common goal to achieve the vision and strategy of the organization, of the business unit and the corporate strategy. With that, we are coming to the end of functional strategy. So we have covered all the three strategies, corporate level strategy, business unit level strategy, functional level strategy. All the three levels of strategies work together in tandem to ensure the company's vision and strategy is executed well. So the next chapter we'll be talking about strategy formulation. With this, I'm concluding the functional level strategy discussion here. And if you have any questions, you can always write to me. Thank you for your time and see you in the next class.